Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Thanks for joining us this morning for the KUMA Coffee Hour. Coming up, talking with John Turner, Pendleton Mayor, and Rob Corbett, City Manager, talking about last night's Pendleton Development Commission, as well as the Pendleton City Council. Much to talk about this morning. Our conversation will begin right after these words.
No hot water? Head to Zimmerman and Company True Value for help. Here's Jeff to tell you more.
When you find your electric water heater is no longer heating your water, you can replace the electrodes with a wide variety of electrodes that we carry here in stock.
What about if you do need to replace your water heater?
We do carry water heaters, generally 40 and 50 gallon type, and we usually have them in stock.
Open 7 days a week, Zimmerman and Company True Value, a mainstay on Main Street for over 80 years in downtown Pendleton.
Keeping you informed on local issues. Back to the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday, March 8th. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, and joining me this morning, Pendleton Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett, talking about last night's Pendleton Development Commission, as well as the City Council. John and Rob, thanks for joining me this morning.
It's a beautiful day outside. Kind of makes me think that spring's right around the corner, Dan.
Yeah, we got that time change coming up.
Yeah, on Sunday morning, yeah.
Well, let's get right into the meetings that were held last night, starting with the PDC. And I know we've talked about this bank financing issue. What is going on?
Well, let me back up a couple of years. In 2021, the Pendleton Development Commission, which our listeners know is our urban renewal group, got new financing in the form of a $10 million line of credit from Banner Bank. And the agreement was that the money would be drawn out for 3 years in a row. And at the end of 3 years, all of the funds withdrawn would be converted into a long-term loan. And so the original terms of that loan, it could have been 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years. We've been looking at that proposition, and we realized that if we draw it out to 20 years, it would make our repayments a lot more palatable. So last night we passed a resolution that would allow the city's representatives to make additional adjustments to that financing agreement, to the line of credit. So we did this because the bank wants to settle that one before they let us go in and ask for new financings, for new dollars to help finance projects in the urban renewal. So what we're really doing was just kind of a housekeeping thing with the current line of credit. Once we get that finished, then we'll be going back to the Banner Bank, most likely Banner Bank, and ask for more money. And, you know, it's all tied to our ability to repay. We've said on the show before, the Urban Renewal District brings in a little over $1 million a year in taxes. And so we've got to be careful not to lend out or give out grants more than what we can pay back in our financing each year. So that was it. Meeting lasted about 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get right into last night's City Council, where I know that there was a little bit more on the agenda. And one of the things we've talked about a lot on this program is this sports complex concept. And this is an exciting project. And tell us more about that, John.
Well, this kind of came, it's been out there, Dan, for years. If you talk to people from the school district, they've been talking about it for probably 20 years. Folks at the city have been talking about it for at least 6 or 8 years. So finally, about a year ago, year and a half ago, the Roundup City Development Corporation got behind this and said, we're going to take this on as a project. This is going to be our number one priority. Knowing full well that it's probably a $25 or $30 million project, that it's going to probably take 5, maybe 10 years to come to fruition, but you've got to start someplace. So we raised money. The county gave us $100,000. The Pendleton Foundation Trust has given $50,000. We think that there's some more money coming forth from maybe the Buck Boosters or the Linebacker Club or whatever sports-related groups. And the city has gotten behind this now with an offer to provide 40 acres of land. It's out there on the end of the runway at Stage Gulch Road, about a quarter of a mile past the police firing range, if you know where that is. The city bought that land many years ago, thinking we'd put an industrial park out there. But now with the Phase 4 industrial park on the north side of the runway, that's probably not how that land's going to be used. So there's 40 acres there. The city has not formally transferred that to the project yet. But the last night, Joe Hall, the president of the Roundup City Development Corporation, briefed the city on it and received a lot of support. So I would think at some future city council meeting, we'll make provisions to formally transfer those 40 acres to this project. Now, there's some other land nearby that might be purchased. We'll just have to see what our finances look like. Senator Hansel is trying to help us get some capital construction money from the state during this legislative session. We wish him well. At some point in time, we will probably have to go out to the voters and ask for a general obligation bond to finance this thing. But, you know, you look around other regional sports complexes, the one in Medford is incredibly productive, and it fills up all the hotels all summer long in Medford. There's another one in Centralia that's very similar. This one would have 3 to 4 soccer fields, 3 to 5 softball fields. It could possibly be, depending on how much money we get, there could relocate the BMCC baseball park out there. And we've even had talks about building a high school football stadium out there. And just all of it's going to depend on money and what we're able to come up with over the years. One of the exciting things about it is in the plan right now, we've got an RV park. So all these families that bring their kids for these regional sports tournaments could live out there. Or during Roundup, you'd have another additional place that had RV services and so forth. And that would generate money to help pay the expenses of operating. So, excuse me, I think the idea was well received by the city council, and we'll just continue to move forward.
All right. Well, it sounds exciting, and I know there's a lot of excitement with other guests we've had on this program and just talking to people in the community and the general area that Pendleton may very well be the home of a really nice regional sports complex. And, hopefully this concept by the ball gets moving, pardon the pun, on such a plan. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, continue talking about the city council meeting from last night. I'm talking this morning to Pendleton Mayor John Turner and Rob Corbett, city manager. We will be right back.
Need a ride? The city of Pendleton has you covered. Did you know the Dial-A-Ride Transit van service in Pendleton runs 7 days a week? To arrange your next day ride with Dial-A-Ride, call Elite Taxi Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 541-276-6476. This service runs within the city of Pendleton and the urban growth boundary, and cost is only $1 per ride. For daily schedules and other transit service the city provides, go to City of Pendleton's website at pendleton.or.us/transportation.
The Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store, is proud to be part of this great community and part of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We stand up when we hear the national anthem, put our hands on our hearts when we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and we thank God for everything He has given us. If you feel the same way, stop by and say hi to your neighbors at the Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store. God bless America, God bless you, and God bless beer.
People often ask, can you fix my car? And nearly always the answer is, yes, we can. Hi, Scott here for your locally owned Pendleton Tire Factory. Did you know that we do brakes, batteries, tune-ups, air conditioning work, cooling systems, shocks, struts, trailer wiring, install tow hitches? And quite often we can get the work completed on the same day. We also service most RVs and living quarter horse trailers. Pendleton Tire, Eastgate, Pendleton, 276-2774.
Every year, over 1/4 of adults suffer a fall, but there are steps that can be taken to help reduce the risk. Join Mackay Creek Estates on Thursday, March 23rd at 2 p.m. for a free webinar with certified athletic trainer Adrian Cahigas. He will provide expertise on the physical factors that can lead to falls, fitness routines for older adults to build strength, and advice on fall-proofing the home. You can sign up for the free webinar at prestigecanhelp.com. Again, that's prestigecanhelp.com.
Local news, local issues, from the area's only live and local morning show. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with John Turner, Pendleton Mayor, and City Manager Rob Corbett, and we were before the break, talking about last night's city council agenda and just going through some of the other agenda items. Moving to the next agenda item, Public Works Director Bob Patterson, I believe, water system valves, those are important.
Yeah, they are important, Dan. Primarily when you have a water break or you need to do some work on the line and you need to shut the water off and isolate the area to be able to get that work done. And this water valve a bid award was to install, two valves in the area of Hoodama and Haley. And it was the installation of valves in a live installation. So we don't have to shut the water line down to install these valves. The reason for the live installation is because in order for us to install valves, the traditional way, we would have to shut off water to hundreds of homes and apartment buildings, and then there would be after you do the work and you turn the water back on, there's a very extensive cleansing process that you have to go through, which includes chlorination of the water lines, and it looks like there's even a boil requirement for a period of time on those people who are without water for that time. And so it would be very disruptive in this case. And so the city staff recommended that we go to a live tap for this new installation of a valve, and so the city council agreed with that and approved a bid award to Tap Master Inc. In the amount of $51,973 to install two 16-inch valves in that neighborhood.
All right. There was also a library board presentation. What's new with the library?
Well, so as a reminder to your listeners, each year the committees and commissions that advise the city council are asked to make an annual presentation before the city, before them. And so last night, the library chairman made his presentation before the city council. And the library is a very, very active department within the city. They have notably increased the number of programs that they have. And so there was an overview of the programs that took place. There was some, one of the ones that comes to mind is there was a program on hiking that was provided by the library and taught by the parks director, Liam Hughes. Excuse me. Then a lot of children's programs, obviously. We want to engage our kids in reading. So there was an overview of the variety of programs that were available to our kids. Also, fundraising is a big part of what they do to generate revenue and income. And there was a report on how much was made for the auction. There's an online auction that we did. And then there was a smaller book sale and a large book sale. And those reports were given to the city council as well. Another report that was given was the library was the recipient of, I think, five grant awards that totaled somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 to $30,000, from a variety of institutions or nonprofits. The library is very active in bringing additional resources into the community to bolster the library. And then lastly, the bookmobile is being rolled out. And so there was an overview of where we were at with that project. And this summer, we look forward to seeing the bookmobile in our neighborhoods.
All right, yeah. I know some people looking forward to that as well. John, you also had an annual report on the Aquatic Center, and I know that's a popular destination for people.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have that center here, and we're fortunate to have Jeff Hamilton, who runs it in all his part-time labor, a lot of it's seasonal labor. Jeff recruits people to be lifeguards. He recruits people to work in concessions. He gets the facilities guys out there. It's a lot of work keeping that thing going. It's expensive. I think most people are under the impression that aquatic centers in general pay for themselves. In spite of the fact that we had a record-setting year in dollars coming into the aquatic center, it doesn't pay for itself. For the last 10 years, it's probably averaged somewhere between 55 and 60% of the costs are covered by revenues generated by the aquatic center. This year, they hit almost 70%. Which was something that they set for a goal for themselves a couple of years ago. And they've increased prices a little bit, but the cost of doing business has gone up. For example, chlorine. We used to use chlorine gas to keep the water clean. The price of gas chlorine doubled in the last couple of years. So we've converted over to chlorine pellets, which is a much reduced cost. We're looking at soft serve ice cream, for example, in the concessions, because that generates more money. I think Jeff is down there putting in long hours every day to try and make the aquatic center run as well as he can. They've done a lot of innovative things with passes. We sold a few less season passes, but we sold more daily passes. He says that goes up and down all the time. We offered about $5,000 in discounted passes to low-income kids. We offered more swim lessons this year. So the thing was operational about 86 days, and roughly we try and stay open for about 90 every year. So we almost hit that project. There's just a lot of trend lines at the Aquatic Center that are going in the right direction, Dan.
All right. Well, it sounds good. And I know when this weather heats up, people will be visiting the Aquatic Center, and I've heard nothing but good things about people enjoying visiting the Aquatic Center on the warmer days. Annual Safety Committee also gave a report. And Rob, what did they share?
So the Safety Committee, again, it's another committee. They give their annual report. I think what I would first like to start off with is the committee is made up of employees who work in a cross-section of the departments within the city. They devote a part of their time to making sure that we are in compliance with OSHA and that we are putting our best foot forward as an organization to ensure that people are able to return home safe each and every day. Sometimes it's a very challenging job because it involves a lot of policy writing and rule making and inspections that aren't very glitzy, and it also takes away from people's primary duties but you know, to the extent that that their job description suggests that that's what it is, but certainly safety is the duty of all of us that work at the city. So I think you know, there was just generally, it was a broad overview of we have a safety manual. They commit themselves each year to reporting or rewriting that section to make sure that it's in compliance with OSHA rules, which change every year. The group investigates accidents that happen in the course of a year to see if there's anything that needs to change in terms of our practices or the work environment to try and reduce the risk of there being a repeat accident. We also are mandated to do quarterly inspections of all of our workspaces. So they oversee that program, and they do some of the inspections themselves. We're mandated to do trainings. So they make sure that there is appropriate training availability to all of our employees and that we're in compliance with that. They also spend time on the wellness of our employees as well. You know, if people are healthy and happy, then they're going to be more productive employees. And so there's an element of their job that is focused on those kinds of opportunities for our employees. And so over the years, they've, you know, they've recommended policies and programs that that we that are in an effort to try to promote that aspect of the workplace. And two accomplishments, major accomplishments this year were they located AEDs, which are the defibrillators that hang on the wall in the event of someone having a heart attack at critical areas in our facilities throughout the community. And then lastly, there was a hazardous situation that's come up with homeless camps and the accumulation of hazardous waste at these homeless camps. And in the interest of the safety of our employees, and plus the time that it was taking to get these areas cleaned up, they made a policy recommendation, and it was adopted by the city manager and the council to hire an outside consultant to come in and take over the responsibility of cleaning those areas up.
I know we were going to talk a little bit more about that. Let's take a break. Come back, talk about that. I know that that's been a big deal that the city has taken on, and we'll continue our conversation, so stay with us.
Check out our archives, podcasts of past KUMA Coffee Hours, online at mycolumbiabasin.com.
A new state law requires the city of Pendleton to inventory the material of all pipes in the water system, including our customers' water service lines. Now through March 13th, the city is asking you to complete a survey about what your water service line is made of, especially if the pipes were installed before 1987. You can find more information on how to determine pipe material in the water service line survey available now on the city's website and at Pendleton City Hall.
Think you know your Umatilla County history? Come find out at Trivia Night at the Museum. Tickets are on sale now at Heritage Station Museum for Saints and Sinners of Umatilla County, Saturday, March 18th. Get your team together and purchase a table for just $120. Or we can put you at a table for just $25 with new friends. Have fun, eat a delicious dinner, and test your knowledge at Trivia Night at the Museum. This event supports the Umatilla County Historical Society.
America's favorite rock and country band is headed to Wild Horse Resort and Casino. Come see multi-platinum selling band Little Texas live in concert Saturday, March 18th, singing the songs you know and love, including hits like Kick a Little, What Might Have Been, and God Bless Texas. Now's your chance to see one of the best live rockin' shows in all of country music, Little Texas, Saturday, March 18th. Tickets on sale now at wildhorseresort.com or visit the Wild Horse Gift Shop, Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton, Oregon.
Alaska Air Jet Service has arrived in Walla Walla. The jet is more efficient and quieter than the turboprop, and it flies faster. Plus, enjoy in-flight entertainment and Wi-Fi on board. Fly in comfort with daily service between Walla Walla and Seattle. The midday Walla Walla flight still has good connections at SeaTac and beyond. So purchase your ticket today at alaskaair.com, pack your bags, and enjoy your flight from the Walla Walla Regional Airport. Need more incentive? Free parking. Fly Walla Walla. It works.
Let's get back to the area's only live and local morning show, the KUMA Coffee Hour, on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Pendleton Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett. We ended the last segment talking about the annual safety committee report. And John, you wanted to make a comment regarding that before we move on.
Well, it's the importance of this committee. It's not very sexy, and people, it's not their primary duty. But you know what? If they keep people from getting hurt, that saves the city tons of money in overtime pay. You get a police officer hurt or a guy who's or a gal who's one deep in their job, and then you've got to pay somebody overtime to make up for it. So from a management perspective, keeping an eye on safety just makes a ton of sense.
And we were also talking Rob, you mentioned this camp cleanup, and I know that, you know, it is a nuisance, and it's something that the city has taken a part of, Chief Chuck Byram, Police Chief Chuck Byram, mentioned it yesterday. Any other update as far as that now that you've hired a firm and have started the work?
Well, I don't know. I didn't listen to Chuck's presentation yesterday, so don't tell him that because I don't want him to be offended by the fact that I... But, you know, so imagine someone living out in, you know, in a small location for an extended period of time. And, you know, where do they go to the bathroom? Well, they stay right there. And so when you go into an environment like that, there's generally an enormous amount of human waste that's there, if depending on how long it's been there. And then if there's drug use or drug activity going on, there's all kinds of drug paraphernalia that's located there. So as we ponder this problem, just like everybody in this community, you know, we're all growing, you know, we're all having to live with this together. And so, you know, our particular situation is we walk into these camps and we have an environmental hazard site that requires safe, you know, significant safety protocols to be instituted before someone starts cleaning it up. And then as it increases, because we've seen these camps increase, it just takes more and more time. And so the safety committee came to us and said, you know, talked about the enormity of the problem and the hazard of the problem, and made a recommendation that we hire an environmental cleanup consultant or contractor to clean these camps up, and it would allow our staff to return back to their normal jobs, and it would also eliminate the hazard to our employees. And so we looked at the cost, and we approached the city council. I decided to go to the city council and ask for funding, and it was supported for those reasons. You know, we're hopeful that as the governor has made this a priority of hers, that the state will be forthcoming in reducing this hazard. I don't think she's going to eliminate it. In the meantime, what we're doing is we're recognizing that there are certain places where people like to hide and live. And so we'll go in and we're cleaning those places out and making them more exposed so that people don't feel like they can hide in there anymore. Now we realize they're going to move somewhere else, but you know, that's at, you know, we think we need to be doing something, and that's the least that we can do at this point. And so we're taking those steps as well.
Yeah, seeing the state clear out one of those camps on its right of way, just the amount of trash that they hauled away was well, it was depressing, but it was just shocking to see truckloads of stuff hauled away. So yes, it is a problem, and I know that the city is also working on cleaning up camps as well. Well, we have run out of time. Talked this morning with Pendleton Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning. We will be back again tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful Wednesday.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.